Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A little bit. You can all be looking for and turning to John 21. Okay, for those of us who live in Oklahoma, over the last few years, we've had some pretty horrendous ice storms. And so, probably been 2 or 3 years ago, pretty devastating ice storms. I know we did. I know you all did out here, too. And so there was a lot of devastation to the trees. The few trees you do have out here. There was a lot of devastation to it. We had a lot of devastation on our trees, and we have lots of trees where we live. And I remember it being so bad that when we were sitting in the house, our electric had just gone off. I remember Charlie saying it was flickering. We got to fill the bathtub up with water. If this goes off, there's no telling how long, you know. Got to have water around. And so once it finally went off and we were just sitting in the living room and it was sleeting, it was really eerie sounding because you could hear the pellets just hitting everything, and it's almost like a tinkling sound, you know, as it was coating everything. And after a while, you'd start hearing these cracks, and then you'd hear these crashes, and then we'd hear this kaboom, you know, and it's like you jump up and you go look out the window and it's like, where was that, you know? And two huge trees had fallen down across Coreland, across our road, just right across the road, you know, big trees. And so anyway, there was a lot of devastation there, a lot of damage. And so come spring, you had a lot of cleanup. And so I noticed that there were a few trees that the branches didn't all the way break off, and they were just kind of hanging there, you know, hanging on to the trees, and they were starting to leave out. You know, here's this branch, broken, almost ready to come off, but yet it's leaving out. And so there was still just enough life flowing from that tree into that branch. Okay, so let's get our imaginations turned on here, okay? And we're going to have a little conversation with the branch, okay? Well, hi, branch, how you doing? And the branch kind of looks at itself and sees the green leaves, and it's going, well, I'm doing pretty good here. Well, how are you in relation to the other branches? And so he looks, the limb is looking at all these other branches, and they're all leaving out and turning green and, you know, looking really good. And he says, I think I'm pretty good, you know. Okay, well, then how are you in relation to the tree? And he looks at the tree. Oh, tree and I are good. We're just like this. Just like this. I'm doing really good. But the limb is not seeing itself from the perspective that I am seeing it or somebody else is seeing it. Here's this limb hanging on, you know, maybe by 2 inches, 3 inches, you know. And even though there's still just enough life flowing into it, it's not in good shape. So, the tree maybe can get help or not. Maybe not. In John 15, Jesus tells us to abide in the vine. Brother Charlie touched on that just a little bit last night. And if you abide in the vine, then you will bear much fruit. But without the vine, you can do nothing. Now, this limb is barely abiding in the tree. And all it's going to take is another storm, another strong wind, something like that, and that branch can come crashing down. And that's the end of it. Now, there are many, many people in the body of Christ that are associated with the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, who know the truth, and they think they are okay. They're very busy for the kingdom, doing lots of good stuff for the kingdom. They're very busy with church activities, very busy with their families. They love God with all their heart, and God loves them with all his heart, everything within him. But the enemy has got some storms planned for people. And you have to get yourself regrafted strongly into the tree. Now, here's the difference between us and the tree branch. Okay? The tree branch cannot graft itself back into the tree. Okay? Maybe something that's severely damaged, maybe if you got a professional in, there might be a way to salvage it, but I think it would be very, very difficult to the extent and severity of the damage. But with us, we can regraft ourselves into the vine. We have a choice. We can do it if we want to. How many times have people who are in awful shape sit under an anointed message telling them exactly how they can walk out of whatever they are in, and it goes in one ear and out the other ear? Or else they're thinking to themselves, well, I hope so-and-so two chairs over is listening, because this message is right for them. Amen. It's for them, you know. I mean, I've been there myself. I've done that. And you know what? It's a self-righteous attitude. And you are in a very dangerous position when you get to thinking like that. Amen. There are a lot of limbs that have been lost off the tree. I'm speaking of the body of Christ. There's been a lot of limbs lost off the body of the tree. Now, I'm not saying that you're about to backslide or you're about to completely turn your back on Jesus. I'm not talking about that. But have you noticed there has been wave after wave of discouragement coming through the churches, taking people out, branches falling off the vine? And I know this church is included, and I know several other churches personally, you know, that this has happened to. Satan is out to discourage you and make you give up. Now, I don't want to be one of those branches that gets torn off, possibly could be lost. I don't want to be one of those. I want to be strong. I want to be grafted in deeply into the vine. You know, we can get so caught up in what other people are doing, what other ministries are doing, that we don't focus in on what we should be doing individually, that God's plan for our lives. You know, and it's okay to question God at times about, okay, well, what about this refreshing that's going on over here? Or what about this move of God that's happening over here? But when you get so caught up when those things were going down in Pensacola, you know, those refreshings, and then Brownsville, and then there was one up in Missouri, supposedly. And so, you know, and you can get so caught up in this stuff, and it's like, is this really of God? Is this really of God? And it's okay to ask about that. But the bottom line is, are you doing what God has called you to do?
There you go. Amen.
That's the bottom line. Okay, John 21. I'm going to give you a little background. At this point, this is the third time Jesus has appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. And even after getting to see him, seeing that he was definitely alive, they were still really discouraged and bummed out. You know, they were down in the mully grubs. Because for 3.5 years, they got to walk with Jesus. They got to see him face to face. They got directions, instructions for him, from him, from his mouth to his ear, continually on a daily basis. Okay, now, that's not happening. He's risen, But they're not seeing him face to face like they were. So they're really bummed out, you know, because they got to see all, hear all his teachings, see all these miracles, just awesome stuff for 3.5 years. So then Peter decides to organize a campaign, and he says, brothers, let's get out there and win the lost and see the, you know, sick healed and set people free. That's what he did, right? No. That isn't what he did. He said, I'm going fishing. He's going fishing. And John and Thomas and James and two others all agreed with him and said, okay, we're going to go with you. So they took off in their boat in the middle of the night, went out into the lake to go fishing. Well, they didn't catch anything. You know what makes for a really grumpy person? Somebody who fished all night and doesn't catch anything. They're real grumpy. And they were discouraged on top of it as it was. So they were really, really grumpy, I'm sure. So, you just don't know how many people have gone back to fishing from the first church. Because it's too tough. It just has gotten too tough. I can't handle this. I can't do this. They may even have had great revelations. God may have just really ministered to them in some awesome ways. But yet, they're just gotten discouraged, gotten downed out. Their soul is talking to them. You know, just yammering at them constantly. And they just decide, I'm giving up. I'm just going back to what I used to do. This is just not worth it. You know, it's another thing to do the message for, you know, a year, 5 years. It's another thing to do the message. Do the things you know to do in the Word of God for the rest of your life or until Jesus comes back. That's a whole other ballgame. So Peter and the others have been fishing all night long. And they haven't caught anything. And they hear this voice from shore saying, cast your nets on the other side. And so they did. And they caught so many fish, they had a hard time getting them to shore. Well, when this happened, John realizes it's Jesus. And he says, you know, he's kind of like, Peter, it's the Lord. So then Peter gets all excited, jumps overboard, and swims to shore, you know. And so anyway, Jesus is back on shore, and he has breakfast prepared for all of them. Okay, this is where we're going to pick up, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Okay, do you love me more than these? Meaning the other disciples here. And what that goes back to is a conversation that Jesus had with Peter during the Last Supper. And Jesus is telling him that the shepherd is going to be struck and the sheep are going to be scattered. And Peter boldly declares that, you know, these may leave you, you know, but I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to be with you forever. I'm going to stand up for you no matter what. And Jesus just, you know, calmly looks at him and says, before the cock crows, you are going to deny me 3 times. And that's exactly what happened. And in Matthew gives the clearest account of what happened. So here's Jesus asking Peter 3 times, do you love me? Can you imagine what Peter felt like? Can you imagine the condemnation that came, you know, just heaping down over his head? You know, the enemy's really good about condemnation when you've messed up bad. You know, he will bring it back and dump truckloads over the top of your head. Even though the Lord has forgiven you, he will bring condemnation back, and there's the soul again. The enemy using the soul through condemnation to keep you, you know, from not going forward and not accomplishing what God has for you. Verse 16. So he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was so grieved that he said to him a third time. Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, Feed my sheep. And he asked him three different times, Do you love me? Because Peter had denied him three times. But see, the Lord knew his heart. That's why Peter said, You know all things, Lord. You know my heart. You know I do love you. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. That word old in the Greek actually means old age, to grow old. He was telling Peter that he was going to live a long time and that he was also going to die for the gospel. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, Follow me. Okay, Peter got a word straight from God, from the mouth of Jesus. Now, when we get a word from the Holy Spirit, it's straight from the heart and mouth of God. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is here to do. He's here to bring to us what the Father in Jesus is saying. And that's why Peter, over in Acts 12, you remember when Herod had captured James and had him beheaded? And then he arrested Peter and threw Peter into prison. And he was shackled between two guards. And then there were guards outside his locked cell. And he was going to be killed the next day. What did Peter do? Peter went to sleep. I mean, a sound sleep. How many of us, if we had been arrested and we were chained up in prison, going to die the next day, would go into a sound sleep? We'd probably be going, Oh God, oh God, oh God, why is this happening to me? You know, Oh God, get me out of this situation. You'd be praying in tongues and crying and weeping, you know, and everything else. But Peter went into a sound sleep. Well, back in the upper room or wherever they were at, wherever all the rest of the disciples were staying, they were praying back there. Well, Peter went into a sound sleep because Jesus had already told them, you're going to live to be an old, old man before you die. So an angel of the Lord comes into the cell, had to slap Peter. I mean, the cell lights up. When the angel comes in, the whole prison lights up. But Peter's still sleeping. I mean, I would think if an angel walked into my room, I'd feel something, you know. You know, especially if a bright light came in, I think I'd wake up. You know, you had this bright light shine in your face. Angel had to slap him. Said, come on, get up, you know. So then Peter's released and, you know, he goes back to where they were. Well, that was a word straight from God that Peter's faith, he took Jesus at his word, said, believing him, okay, you're going to die for me, but it's going to be a ways off yet because I've got things for you to do. Amen. So he wasn't concerned. He wasn't worried. He took Jesus at his word.
Amen.
That's faith. That is faith. And you know what faith is? Faith simply means to trust. Completely trust. It's that simple. It's that simple. We could read Hebrews 11:6 like, without trust, without faith, but put without trust, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe or must trust that He is who He says He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of those who trust Him completely. See, our whole relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, is based on trust, and how much trust He has in us and how much trust we have in Him. How can you learn to trust somebody if you truly don't believe in them? You can't. If you don't believe in them and believe their word and what they're telling you, you can't trust. You can't, you know, trust them. I know there's a lot of people out there that are wondering if there's really a plan of God for their lives. If God really, really has a plan for them. And He does. Each and every single person in here, He has a plan for your life. And no, it's not fate. It is not fate. And it is not set in stone. Do you know why? Because you have a choice. He has a plan, but you have a choice. Your choices of whether to walk His path or not all depends on you. And you know the sad thing about it? Most people choose not to walk His path. They choose not to. You can tell by these verses in John 21 that Jesus knows the plan. He knows the plan for Peter's life. If He knows the plan for Peter's life, then He knows the plan for your life.
Amen.
Quit letting the devil talk you out of God's plan for your life. When you pray in tongues even for 5 minutes, you're starting to pray down His plan for your life. It's going to take more than 5 minutes a day, but you are starting on that path. Back to verse 19. This He spoke, signifying by what death He would glorify God. And when He had spoken this, He said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord," "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" But Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" So here Jesus just tells Peter that he's going to die for the gospel. Okay, what if Jesus came up and told you, "You're going to die for the gospel. I'm going to send you off to a foreign nation and you're going to end up dying for me." How would you feel on the inside knowing a death sentence was just pronounced on you? But it wasn't going to be for a long time, but a death sentence was just pronounced on you. You're going to die for the gospel. So Peter, you know, was kind of looking around, and John was following behind. Him and Jesus were having this little conversation, probably walking down the beach, and, you know, John's, you know, kind of following behind, probably wondering what they're talking about. And so Peter turns around and goes, "Well, what about him? You know, if I'm going to die, is he going to die too? You know, I want to know, is he going to die for the gospel also?" Okay, let's see what's said. Verse 22, Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." In other words, it's none of your business what's going to happen to him. You follow me and do what I have told you to do. We tend to get all caught up, you know, like I said, in what other people are doing and all these other moves of God that are happening. But on that final day, when you stand before Jesus, you're not going to be having a conversation with Him about so-and-so.
That's right.
Let's say, okay, I'll just pick Charlie there. "Okay, Lord, Brother Charlie, I don't believe he truly fulfilled your call like he should. I believe he should have had more miracles happening in his ministry. He should have had more dead people raised. He should have this and that and the other thing." You're not going to be talking about Brother Charlie.
That's right, amen. That's right.
You're going to be talking about you, and did you do what I asked you to do for me? That is what is going to be happening. So that is all you need to be concerned about. Are you doing what you are supposed to be doing for Him?
Hallelujah.
Have you ever watched Bridezilla? Have you ever heard of the show Bridezilla? I occasionally watch it. Sometimes on a Sunday afternoon when I'm ironing clothes, you know. I think it's hilarious. But anyway, it's a show about brides. And not so nice brides. They turn into really, really mean ogres because of preparing their weddings, you know. Well, anyway, these women that the show's about, they have been planning and dreaming for their weddings ever since they were a little girl. And heaven help anybody who tells them they cannot have what they want. Money is no object. It doesn't matter if it's an impossibility. You find a way to carry it out. It's my wedding, you know, and that's what it is. Well, there was this one bride who went to this local chef who was very well known for the spreads that he put out. And so she said, "I want your most famous dish," and it was like beef tips with pearl onions and green beans and the special potatoes and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, so he agreed to it. Well, when the reception came around and the meal was served, he had changed it up totally. Did not even prepare what she had requested. Well, everybody was just going on and on and on about how wonderful the meal was. And, oh, it was just stupendous, you know. But she was furious, you know, because that isn't what she wanted. So she confronted him after it. And he says, "Well, did anybody complain?" "Well, no, nobody complained." "Well, then what's the deal?" "But you didn't do what I asked you to do." Okay. Are you doing what God has asked you to do, or are you doing a good thing because you think, you know, this is just a good thing? Are you doing a good thing or a God thing? I can look back over my life and see where, you know, I did a lot of things just because, you know, I wanted to serve the Lord. And I know a lot of us are there because we're trying to find that path. We're trying to learn how to hear Him. And, you know, you do put your hand to things. But in the meantime, you're learning to listen. You're praying and taking steps towards that direction. I remember when I was first born again, I taught children's Sunday school, I taught missionettes, I sang in the choir even though I wasn't a very good singer. You know, I was just trying to do things, put my hand to things because I wanted to serve God. I just wanted to serve God. I just didn't know a lot about how to find His direction for my life because it just wasn't taught. They didn't know how to find God's direction for their life either, you know. It was a hit and miss thing. Like in so many churches, so I don't blame them. I mean, I even went to Rhema Bible Training Center, went through school hoping I would find direction for my life, hoping I would get a word of God telling me, thus and so, this is what you're going to do. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen. I floated around and struggled for years until I came across this message that I could go into God on purpose and find out what He has for me. It would be so nice if there was a book of Shelley that I could go to and go, okay, oh yeah, I see. Okay, He wants me doing this on this day and going this place on that day. And I could flip ahead and see, you know, what I'd be doing in the future. Well, in the natural, there is no book of Shelley. But you know, there really is a book of Shelley. And it's in the mind and heart of Christ.
Amen.
And there's a book of Bev, and a book of Zach, and a book of Kim, and a book of every single person in this room. There is a book. You just have to find out from the Holy Spirit who brings you the heart and mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the key to finding out that plan for your life. Let's go over to John 16. We'll start in verse 13. when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All these things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. This applies to every single person in the body of Christ. Every single person. It doesn't matter if you're called to make money. It doesn't matter if you're called to be a homemaker. It doesn't matter if you've been called to preach. It doesn't matter what path the Lord has called you to. This is the way for every single person. It doesn't matter. Nobody has any excuses. It does not matter. We all need to hear God for ourselves. We need His Lordship. We need individually to learn how to hear His voice for ourselves. We need not to be guessing and hoping that what we're doing is really of Him. In John 16, the cross is just ahead for Jesus. And he's talking to his disciples. And that is how it was for 3 years. He was talking to them face to face. And all his teachings and all his assignments and all the fellowship was from his mouth to their ears. Right there. Now he's telling them he's going to have to go away. And they're not going to be able to go with him. And they are freaking out. They just don't understand what they're going to do without him. But he's trying to tell them about the person of the Holy Spirit, and though even though he's going away, he's sending the Holy Spirit to be their friend, and that he will be with them every moment of every day. He's never going to leave them. But they were so distraught, they couldn't wrap their minds around what he was trying to say to them. And it would be later on that it would finally click, you know, for them. But he was trying to get them ready. He's telling them he's not going to leave them alone in a dark world, trying to stay on a path without any light. The Holy Spirit is coming to be your guide. Your guide. And he is coming to light your path and to lead you into all truth. The key phrase, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So he's not coming to take over the lordship of Jesus at all. He's not coming to do that. But he is coming to bring us the lordship of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. He's with Jesus in heaven at the same time he's with us here on this earth. He's with us every single moment of every day, whether we feel him or not. He's with us. But if you will start pressing in there and start getting to know him and praying in tongues a lot and start allowing him to bring revelation to your life, to bring wisdom to your life, to bring those visions to your life, you'll get to the point of where you'll just have a knowing on the inside of you. It's like you just know he's there. I mean, if you stop and think for a while, and it's just like, yeah, he is here. You don't feel like you're an orphan left alone. I mean, you can actually feel there's an actual peace, an actual knowing he is with you. He is just there. Your friend all the time, ready to help you no matter what it is. So how do we locate, so how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? And how do we locate the ear of our spirits? Okay, does he speak to our minds? Does he speak to our belly? Does he speak to our heart? Does he speak, you know, somewhere deep inside of us? I mean, where does this voice come from? So see, that's what we're trying to locate and trying to learn to do individually. And the best way to do this is you need to practice the things of God. It's not wrong to practice the things of God. We go to school to learn things. We're in the school of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we need to practice the things of God. And praying in tongues is one of the number one ways of practicing to hear his voice. So what you do is you pray 5 or 10 minutes in tongues, and then stop praying in tongues and listen, because when you stop praying in tongues, you'll still hear that tongues rolling inside just a little bit, and then it'll fade off. Okay, what you've done there is you're starting to locate that spot within you where the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. So what you do is you pray in tongues for a few minutes and stop and listen to that tongues go away. Pray in tongues for a while, stop and listen to that tongues go away. And just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And I'm not saying this is going to happen overnight. I'm not going to say it's going to happen in a month. I'm not going to say it'll happen in 6 months. I have no idea. It depends how diligent you are in practicing these things. But I know that one day, as you're doing this stuff, because he's speaking to us all the time. He's speaking to us all the time. We're just not in position to hear him. One of these days, you are going to start to hear him. It might be through revelation knowledge. It might be through tongues and interpretations. You might be praying in tongues, personally edifying yourself, and all of a sudden the interpretation starts coming off and God starts speaking to you. He may just start speaking to you on the inside in English or your foreign language. Any of these ways that he starts doing this, I'd make sure I constantly have either a little tape recorder next to me or a pad and pencil and start jotting down what he says to you. Because it is edification for the rest of your life. This will be his plans for you for the rest of your life. And it would be good to go back and read them. The Holy Spirit isn't going to bring the plan he has for my life to you. He's not going to bring the pastor's plan for his life to you. He's going to bring his plan for your life to you. You might be thinking, well, I thought all these things were free. I thought he freely gave us all this stuff. You know what? They are freely given. They are freely given. He freely gave us the Holy Spirit to be with us always. He freely gave us the gift of tongues. He freely gave these things to us. But it is going to cost us something. Okay? He may have freely given us these things, but how bad do we want it? How bad do we want to bring our flesh under subjection to the Spirit? How bad do we want to bring our emotions under subjection to the Spirit? How bad do we want to give up those TV shows we like watching in the evening? Or how bad do we want to give up some sleep in the morning and get up and go pray instead? You know, I don't know. Some people are night people. Some people are morning people. You know, you got to figure out what's the best for you. So, how bad do you want these things? Are you willing to give up some stuff? Are you willing to give up some time, you know, doing fun things in your life so you can go seek, pull yourself away and go seek the things of God? Are you willing to give up some things for transformation to take place in your life? You can't go pray 10 or 30 minutes a week and think you've got it whipped and that you know all things and that you can just handle whatever comes your way. I can tell you it won't happen. The storms of life are going to just kick your feet out from under you and you're going to wind up on your back staring straight up wondering, what in the heck am I going to do? So it's going to take spending lots of time praying in tongues. That's all you guys ever talk about when you come up here. Praying tongues, praying tongues, praying tongues. I get so tired of hearing about praying tongues. Well, do it. Do it. We'll stop preaching about it if you're doing it. You know? Praying in tongues where it's at, it's fun. You know you can pray in tongues when you're at work, quietly under your breath, and doing mindless things. Do you know you can pray in tongues while you're driving the bus?
That's right.
Driving your car? I pray in tongues at the pharmacy I work. I'm sitting there entering scripts, and I'm praying in tongues under my breath, real quietly. If I'm not having to use my mind for something, you know, and attend to people, you know, and I'm just entering scripts, or, you know, it might be a lull, and I'm just kind of standing there holding up the counter sometimes, I'm there just very quietly, my lips barely moving, just praying in tongues. Do you know you can pray in tongues in the shower? Your mind. But, you know, we need to get into that mentality of all the time. And it's good to be praying all the time during the day. But there is a pulling away also. You need to pull yourself away for at least an hour a day, or however you can arrange your schedule. You need to at least that private time also. So, your mind is going to wander. It's going to bounce off the walls. It's going to think of everything under the sun that you could be doing right now. You may hate to mow the grass, and it's going to tell you to go out there and mow the grass, whether it needs it or not. Or it's going to say, you know, you forgot to call so-and-so. You need to go call them right now. Or, you know, oh, I forgot. I needed to bathe the dog. You know? Write these things down on a pad that you have next to you. See, our minds, God gave us our minds to keep us organized on stuff, you know, and it's a great and wonderful thing He's given us. But we have to write these things down, because when we write them down, then our mind goes, oh, okay, they won't forget about this, they wrote it down, and your mind will release it and let it go. So after you've been praying for a while and you've got this list, then you've got a to-do list of things you can start working on, and after you get through with prayer, you know, you can start checking them off. So your mind is going to bounce around and hit the walls and everything else. And you know what you do? What Brother Charlie's been teaching us the last couple nights, you take authority over your mind and you tell it to shut up. That it's not going to control you, that the spirit man is going to control it. And you just shut up and be quiet. And if it won't shut up and be quiet, why don't you raise your hands and start worshiping God and just saying, Jesus, you know, I love you, I worship you, I adore you, you know, I thank you for saving me. And just out loud, start worshiping Him. Your mind will shut up and go between tongues and worship. Bring that mind under control. You can do it. You can do it. I know it. It's attainable. You can do it. He wouldn't give us anything, tell us to do anything, if it wasn't attainable, if we couldn't do it. So we can. We can. It might be tough, but we can. Jesus has provided a way for us to walk with Him every day and to hear His voice and to get assignments from Him. He does have assignments for us to do on a daily basis. We just have to get ourselves to the point of where we can hear Him clearly on the assignments that He wants us to do. It's no different. It's no different. I want you to get this. It's no different from when He walked this earth face to face with the disciples. It is no different. He has given us the Holy Spirit to be with us constantly and to bring us His assignments and His word. We have a better deal than the disciples have, because they had to be right with Him directly at that time. It doesn't matter anymore. We have Him on the inside of us, bringing us the mind of Christ constantly. Now, it's going to take a lot of diligence. It's going to take a lot of perseverance. And it's going to take endurance. But I know it's attainable, and I know you can do it. Hallelujah. Let's worship, Beth.
Amen.
Let's worship. I just feel like worshiping. How about You Deserve the Glory? I love that song. Why don't you stand up? We're going to worship. We serve a great God. We serve an awesome God. We serve a wonderful God. And I don't know about you, but I love Him. I love Him with all my heart. Why don't you just close your eyes and raise your hands and just start worshiping Him. Father, we love You. We love You. We adore You. We give You glory and honor. I thank You, Father God, for saving us. I thank You for filling us with Your Holy Spirit. I thank You for giving us a prayer language that we can talk to You anytime, all the time, during the day, Father. Thank You. Thank You for the air that we breathe. Thank You for the health in our bodies. Thank You that You've provided for us peace and healing, love and wisdom. I worship You, Lord. I worship You, Lord. I worship You, Lord. I give You glory and honor. Glory and honor. Blessing. Blessing, blessing. You're so magnificent.